So it's just great to be back here again at Norwich Elam. It's been many years I've been popping up from Essex to Norfolk to come to this fellowship and to see the different seasons in which God has taken you, but to know that in every season God is faithful, in every season God is sovereign, and that we can live in that expectancy of that he is the one that will continue to build his church. And grateful to Malcolm and Cecile and the leadership here for taking responsibility under God for leading this church fellowship into the future that lies ahead. For me personally and for Maureen, we led the SGM Church group for 45 years, and we stepped down from the senior role of that last September. We then had 3 months complete break, and that included a cruise in the Caribbean, which was amazing. But Dave Campbell allowed me to retire as the senior leader of Esther Church Group. He wouldn't allow me to retire as the regional coordinator for the Metro East region. And so all it's meant is that I'm now spending more time travelling around the region and speaking in other Elam churches than in the church that I was leading. But that is absolutely great. Both of us are enjoying the new season that we are in. So I want us to get into the Word of God together. And as I was just praying and seeking God for a word for you as a church fellowship, Malcolm had given me a call and had informed me of what you as a church fellowship felt the Lord was saying at this particular point in time. And God took me to this word that I want to share with you. And I want to begin by saying that last weekend we were in Wales. It was the marriage of one of the young people who had been part of the Esther Church group, and they had moved to Wales, and they'd asked me if I would go and speak at their wedding, which was a real privilege. But we decided that as we're going to travel all the way up to Wales, that we might as well take the opportunity to spend a few days up there. And so we were there for 3 days, and the weather was glorious. And on one particular day, we went up into the mountains, and it was just awesome to be able to see such amazing scenery. But as part of that, we went for a walk, and we came across this mountain stream. And it was just flowing, beautifully clear. It was just traveling at an amazing rate of knots. And wherever there is water, Maureen always feels the need to go and dip her feet in. And so very quickly, I was informed that it was time for me to sit while she went and paddled in the stream. And I was watching her, and as I was taking photos of her paddling, I was reminded of this scripture that I want to speak on this morning, which is found in John 7, and I've entitled my talk, Refreshing Rivers. You see, when the rain comes, the rivers flow. When the rain comes, then there is a pouring out of water that begins to saturate the ground. And when we think about heavenly realms, we think of the fact that the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that flowing out from the throne of God is a river. It's a river of life, is a river of refreshing, is a river of blessing. And in John 7, we come across these two verses, which is what I want to hone in upon. It says, on the last day, this is verse 37 and 38, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And as I was reflecting and thinking on what God was saying, I feel that there are a number of key things here that God wants to highlight to you. And the first thing I want to say was that this was a significant event at a significant time. This was, as far as the event was concerned, it was a time in which was a festival. It was a time of feasting. It was time of celebration. It was a time of rejoicing. And I want you to know that that is what God wants you to understand, that there is a time of feasting and festival and rejoicing that is coming. He wants you to know that he has brought you into his banqueting house, and his banner over you is love. That you can come to a place where you can know the reality that he has prepared a table before you, even in the presence of your enemies. To know that that banqueting table is filled with good things, and that because God is a God of goodness and mercy, you can come and receive of the good gifts that God is offering to you. A significant event is going to take place in this church and in this city. And significant events are going to take place in individual lives as there is an understanding of the purposes and plans of God unfolding both corporately and individually. But not only is it a significant event, but you need to know there's also a significant time as well. This will be in God's way, in God's time, at the moment that God chooses. You cannot force it. You cannot in some way predict it. You must understand that just as suddenly as at this moment in time, Jesus, the Savior of the world, stood and made this declaration. So it will be at God's time he will touch lives. At God's time he will bring revelation. At God's time he will move in the power of the Spirit. At God's time he will touch this city. At God's time he will bring release of healing. At God's time there will be outpouring of the Spirit in ever increasing measure because the refreshing rivers are going to flow. You need to be in tune with God's time. You need to be sensitive to what God is saying. You need to be aware of the fact that when God's time comes, nothing will stop what God is about to do. There will be no barrier that can prevent the flow of the river. As I stood there and looked at this stream flowing, the torrent that was running down, I realized that any barrier I tried to put there, all that would happen would be that the flow of the river would either destroy the barrier or it would eventually overflow the barrier and continue on its journey. And the enemy will try to put barriers to prevent the river flowing, but it will not happen. He will try to prevent the means by which you can come into the flow of the river and the blessing that God has for you. But to know God's heart is to bless you and to bless you in abundance, to realize that there is such a great measure of what is to come, a significant event in a significant time. But also there was a special invitation, and it was the invitation from God himself because Jesus was God. And Jesus said, you come, you come. And so often in the ministry of Jesus, we saw him giving the invitation to come. Reminded of Bartimaeus crying out, asking for mercy, asking for grace, asking for healing, asking for release. And the crowd was saying, you be quiet. The crowd was saying, you're just a beggar. You are of no worth. You are of no value. There is nothing significant about you at all. Just leave Jesus alone. And some of you need to know that you consider yourself unworthy to come, but you are not seeing yourself as Jesus sees you, because each and every one of you is worth so much. He's worth the sacrifice of himself upon the cross. You are more priceless than you can ever imagine. And therefore, that invitation to come is open to everybody. And just as with Bartimaeus, there came a point when Jesus stopped and said, let him come to me. Let him come to me. And Jesus calls you to come to him. The invitation is open to you to come and discover what he has for you. Just as Bartimaeus came and stood by Jesus, Jesus said, what is it you want? And some of you need to know that so often you do not ask enough. You tend to underestimate what God wants to give you. And he wants you to increase your expectation and increase your vision and increase your understanding so that when you come and the question is asked of you, what do you want? You express to him the deep longings of your heart. For some of you, it will be healing. For others of you, it will be release and liberty from things that have held you over years. For some of you, it will be seeing breakthrough in the life of your family. For some of you, it's in the area of finances. For some of you, it's in the area of relationships. For some of you, it's in that place where it seems as though somehow or other, you just continue to keep going round in circles, never seeming to progress or move forward. And you will come and you will discover that God will open up a path for you that you'd never seen before. There will be almost a separation of the waters, and a distinctive path will be given to you so that you might know the direction you should take, so that you will know the way that you should go, so that you will know it would lead you into a land that is flowing with milk and with honey. Come. That is the special invitation you have. See, coming back to the wedding, Maura and I received this card. It said, we invite you to come. And we had a choice then. We could either come or we could stay. We could either say, yes, we'll be there, or we could say, no, we won't be there. See, when Jesus says come, it always leaves the authority with you as to whether you will come or not. You don't have to come if you don't want to come. You have that choice to be able to say, no, I don't want to do this. I want to reject that invitation. I want to reject that opportunity. I want to reject that experience. I want to reject that ministry. I want to reject that gifting. That's your right. But to know that the invitation is there to all who will respond to it and receive it. A special invitation from God himself. But you see, the special invitation did include a qualification. Not only that you would respond to the invitation, but there was the sign of the desire that would lead you to respond. Because he says this, anyone who is thirsty may come. Anyone who is thirsty may come. I'm so glad that I've got here this lovely living water. This is where I'm likely to go and spill it all down myself as I try to open this up and hold the mic at the same time. But this bottle of water, it was sitting there and it could have continued to sit there. And I could continue to remain thirsty. I could continue to think, I just wish there was some water to drink. And then seeing the water, oh, it's nice that there's water there. It looks so lovely in that bottle. It's a shame to break the bottle open. It's a shame to disturb the water that's in it. But you see, if I'm thirsty enough, I will take the action necessary to be able to drink the water. I took a risk. The risk was, will I spill this all down my front? Thankfully, I didn't. The risk now is this water or is it gin? I'm assuming that it's what it says on the bottle, still water. And now I'm going to take another risk. I'm going to, in front of you, drink it. Don't you wish you had some water? As some of you thinking, I hope he hurries up. I hope he dries up. You want the gin? See Malcolm. You see, when you're thirsty, it becomes something that absolutely motivates you. When you're thirsty, something begins to consume you. It fills your mind. All you can think of is, I just need a drink. And if there's not a drink available, you begin to start to look for the ways and means in which you can find the drink that you're thirsting for. One of the things that Maureen did that I didn't risk was that when she was paddling in the water, she then decided to drink a drop of the water she'd been paddling in. I thought that was quite a brave thing to do. I wondered what the consequences might be, but she just said it was lovely. See, there's nothing quite like fresh water, is there? And the stream of water that was flowing through the Welsh mountains, it was pure water. But if you want to receive, you've got to be thirsty. The thirstier you are, the greater the capacity to receive the greater measure of the river that's flowing. The greater your capacity, the more there is for you to know and experience the deluge of God's blessing in your heart and in your life. It's already been mentioned last week. It was commented upon that the bucket had to have the rocks removed. Again, coming back to what Malcolm was sharing earlier today, the key to the widow woman receiving in abundance was that the prophet said to her, just be aware of this. Before the flow starts, you need to be ready for the abundance that's coming. And the abundance that's coming will be determined by the amount of your readiness. And your readiness is distinguished by the number of vessels that you get. The greater number of vessels, the greater the flow. The greater number of vessels, the greater the capacity to receive. The greater the number of vessels, the greater the outpouring that will come from heaven itself. And when did the pouring stopped? The pouring stopped the moment that the emptiness had gone and there was nothing else left to receive what was being poured out. Say to church, the greater your capacity to receive, the more you will receive. The greater your desire and your thirst for God, the more you will see that He will open up heaven and pour out a river that will continue to flow in ever-increasing measure. That's what Ezekiel discovered when the angel spoke to him and said, Ezekiel, do you see that river? I want you to start to step into it. And so he stepped into it, and the Bible tells us that it went ankle deep. And then he was told, go a bit further. It went knee deep. Go a bit further, and it went thigh deep. Go a bit further, it went waist deep. Go a bit further, and he was submersed in the river, and it took him in the flow of the river into the arena that God wanted to take him into. Some of you will only be prepared to paddle. But God's heart is that you will not just simply paddle, but you will swim. And there will be sufficient flow in the river for you to swim. But to know that when you swim in the current of the river, the current of the river will take you where God wants to take you. The current of the river will have the power that will move you into the position and into the place that He wants you to be to accomplish the purposes and the plans that He has for you. Thirsty, the sign of desire. The step to be taken is anyone who believes in me may come and drink. It's rooted in belief. It's rooted in faith. When I was growing up in my home church in Rayleigh, I had come to discover Jesus, Lord and Savior. And then there came a point where I was really being challenged about the whole aspect of knowing and experiencing the Holy Spirit's power and anointing. I went to youth camp. I'm not someone who likes roughing it. I'd much prefer a five-star hotel than a canvas tent with a palliasse. In case you don't know what a palliasse is, it's basically a bit like a sack that you fill with straw and you lay on, and all the little bugs and creepy crawlies can come and bite you while you're lying there. And the only reason that I went to youth camp and slummed it was because I was in love. And she was going. And so I went along, and that was the only reason I continued to go to church, can I say? I mean, I'd got to the point where church for me was boring. It was time for me to leave. I was coming up to 16 years of age. And God stepped in. He brought a pastor along who had four daughters. And that made all the difference to me. Not the pastor, can I say, but the four daughters, and one in particular caught my eye. It's just a shame that I didn't catch her eye. She had eyes for everybody else other than me. And I was shy and I was reserved and I was quiet. Now, you don't believe this, do you? But that was what I was like. Shy, quiet and reserved. And they are. She just told you it's true. But on the 12th of March, 1965, sitting in the back of a minibus driven by a dad, we gazed into one another's eyes and fell in love. And then I had to go to camp and sleep on a palliasse and go to the business of doing your private things in a bucket and going and getting fresh water, which you had to get from a tanker that was in a cow's field filled with cowpats. And it was just something else, really. But I was in love. And it was there at that camp where there came a significant event in my life at a special time in my life when in the church, in a service, in an evening service, God suddenly came and spoke to me so powerfully, so definitely, so radically. He said, "You need to make up your mind, David. It's all or nothing. All or nothing. Are you prepared to give everything?" And I knew that at that moment it would have such an impact that it would change the course of my life forever. And I came to the point where I said, "Yes, Lord, you can have everything." And following that evening meeting, then there was then what we called in those days waiting meetings, where you went and those who had not been filled with the Holy Spirit went and waited and were prayed for that they might receive the Spirit. And I had seen Maureen, and she had been filled with the Spirit, and I'd seen the way it had impacted her life. And I was thirsty for that. I just so desired that. And so knowing that there was the invitation there, knowing that for me there was a deep-rooted thirst that was there, I went into that small tent and gathered with a crowd of other young people. And there was prayed for. And I just began to believe that God was going to give me my heart's desire. And he did. And he did. And that was the beginning of the experience of my walk with the Holy Spirit. Later on, when I was in my late teens, I really felt the challenge of God as regards to the gifts of the Spirit. Began to desire earnestly the best gifts. That's what Paul tells you to do. What are the best gifts? What are the gifts that you want? The gifts that you desire to operate in your life. But do you know what? Every spiritual gift operates on the vehicle of faith. Faith is the key, which is why Jesus said here, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink." Because when you come and believe in him and believe that he is ready to give to you the desires of your heart, then you're in the place where you are receptive to what God can do and the way that God will move. Because there's a statement of intent that's here that follows on from this. It says, "For the scriptures declare." In other words, Jesus said, I want you to know that God has already given you the indication of what he's prepared to do because he's given it to you in his word, and his word is truth. And when you look at his word declares time and time again that he is a God of blessing, a God of outpouring, a God of refreshing, a God who wants to minister into your hearts, a God who wants to bring healing to your lives, God who wants to bring liberation. In fact, Jesus himself said regarding the mission that he had, that he had come to bind up the brokenhearted. He'd come to open prison doors. He'd come to unstop deaf ears. He'd come to give sight to the blind. He'd come to declare, this is the year of the Lord's favor. You need to know that it's the year of the Lord's favor for you. And that as you see what God has promised, and some of you need to hear this, you have received promises from his word that as yet have not been fulfilled. And you are coming to a place where you're beginning to wonder whether they ever will be. But to know that you need to hold on to that word, for his word is an eternal word. His word is a word that holds true, for it's held in heaven itself. And the word that he has given to you and the word that he has spoken to you, you need to stand upon it. You need to believe in it. You need to know that every promise he has given will be fulfilled for his glory. The time is coming when we will be amazed at what God is doing. The time is coming when the refreshing river will flow in such measure that we will experience once again what it is to be in a place of renewal and revival and overflow and abundance and the release of the measure of the heavenly blessing onto our lives. But not simply just for us to be blessed, but because there's a world out there that needs to know that there is salvation found in no other name than the name of Jesus. And we can speak the name of Jesus and carry it into our streets and carry it to our families and carry it to our nation. And know God's heart is to turn people back to himself. And so then, what do we then discover? We discover that God wants to saturate you. He wants to soak you. When we were staying at the hotel, they didn't have a shower. They had a bath. It's been years since I've soaked in a bath. There's something about lying in a bath. The trouble is, most baths are not my size. They haven't built them for big people. So I have to sort of soak in bits. You know, soak some parts and then move those out the water and put other parts in. I'm so glad, as far as the soaking and saturation is concerned, that's coming from heaven, that it will envelop and soak every part of you. It will envelop you. There will be a sense in which baptism is baptism by immersion. You'll be immersed in the flow of the Spirit. It will surround you. It will flow out from you, but it will then overflow from you and completely surround you. That's what Jesus declared. Out of his heart will flow rivers, plural, rivers of living water. There is such a saturation coming. The rain that we have heard about, the storms that we've heard about, the floods we've heard about, tragic that they are in so many areas, but as far as the heavenly rain and the heavenly floods are concerned, they are not destructive. They are empowering. They are blessing. They are evidence of the goodness and grace of God. There's a song that really powerfully impacted me and Maureen some time ago, and I've asked Maureen if she would come, and we're going to introduce you to this song. It's a song that some of you may have heard, some of you may not. It's a very simple song. And it's a song of intent. It's a prayer. And it simply says this as far as the words are concerned. Move over me. Spirit, move over me. And it's a cry to heaven for the Spirit to move. And it goes on to say, Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. For some of you, you need that wholeness. For some of you, you need that healing. For some of you, you need that release. For some of you, you need that sense of the Spirit touching your life in such a way that it begins to transform you, so the things that have held you in the past begin to slip away as you enter into a new dynamic future, swimming in the river, flowing in the purposes of God, knowing the ministry of God at work within you, but then flowing out from you. Move over me.
Before I start to play and we start to sing this song, David mentioned, first of all, he mentioned about me paddling. And it was very refreshing, paddling. But he also mentioned about the passage in Ezekiel where he was shown the river and eventually it was water to swim in. And what has been coming to me over and over during this service is, take your feet off the bottom. Because some of you are holding on to your comfort zone. You like to know what you're doing, where you're going, what the future holds. You don't like uncertainty. But until you let go of those things and take your feet off the bottom, you can't be taken where the Holy Spirit wants to take you. The current of the river will just go past you and you will stay firmly planted where you're comfortable. Take your feet off the bottom and let the Holy Spirit take you where he wants to. This song, it's as simple as can be, so you can just shut your eyes and sing it. You don't have to look for words, and it's also easy to sing. Some of the modern songs, they're wonderful, but they're a bit difficult to sing, aren't they? This is as simple as can be, so you can just enter into the spirit of it and ask, Holy Spirit, move over me.
Spirit, move over me. Move over me. Spirit, move over me. Move over me. Spirit, move. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Spirit.